Hey, what's up? My name's Alex. I'm with the IT podcast. And today I'm going to be going over what cryptography is for this time. I'm going to explain what it is, give some examples of what it is, talk about how you can protect yourself with cryptography and or encryption. So let's get started. So let's dive into what cryptography is. So basically, cryptography is basically the process of making and or protecting information that only two people can see. Now there's two people, like I said, when it's information. There's person A and person B, hypothetically. So person A is basically the person who made it. And person B is a person who received it, but they can only read it. And between them, it's like just like a secret message between those two, and nobody else has access to that information. A way that I like to think of it is like, if you ever like seen like that, I don't know if it's like a trope or whatever, but like in kids' movies or whatever, it's like the two kids, like they have like their own made-up language that like only they know, like the parents don't know, nobody else knows, whatever. It's basically kind of like that. Where it's just between them two, they only know what's going on, and nobody else can access it. Basically, like how I view it. And I think that's a fine way to view it. I mean, pretty simple, I guess, but there are three different types of cryptography. Let's start with the first one here. First one is symmetric key cryptography. It's basically an encryption system where the sender and the receiver can only use one key to encrypt or decrypt information. They both have like the same key between like shared between them, and only those two can use it. Asymmetric key cryptography is where they would have multiple keys, I think only two, but they have like more than one pair of keys, and they're used to encrypt and decrypt the information. So with that, the receiver's public key is used for encrypting. Oh wait, no, the oh, read the wrong thing. A receiver's public key is used for the encrypting side, and on the and the private key is used for the decrypting side for the receiver. So only the receiver will be able to look at them, basically. And then the final one is the hash function. Now, hash functions don't use keys at all, and instead, they calculate the length of the plain text, which makes it impossible for the plain text to be recovered at all. It covers like the length, and it just like switches it up so that it's not what it was before, just making it impossible. Now, some of you may be wondering, what are the most common, I guess you could say, like uses of cryptography? I say like the most, well, I have a couple of them, but I say like the most important one are passwords. Passwords are important because, well, they're used to log into stuff that we don't want people logging into, something like that. But when, if you're like log into somewhere, and say like you're logging into like, your bank, a school website, whatever. If you're logging into one of those websites, the password is passed onto the system and it's compared to the hash that was used before. So it like checks, like double checks if it's the right password or not. If it's not, it'll tell you it's not. If it is, it'll let you write in. Second most use case is authentication. And it's used in different ways, such as like logging into a computer, accessing important information, like I said, like a bank or something. And what it does, it has to confirm to said user that's logging in to make sure that is them, kind of like with the password thing, that they are who they say they are, kind of just authenticating. And the last one, like I said, I picked a couple, but I just chose three. Last one that I picked was end-to-end encryption. We'll get to that one later on, but basically it's used to protect communication methods such as like text messages, video calls, emails, just stuff like that you would use between like one person and another, something like that. Like I said, we'll talk more about that later. I'm going to talk about more about encryption too, which it's kind of like its own like different thing from cryptography. But they have like little differences, but in general, they're basically the same. Let's talk about what encryption is. Like I said before, we're gonna talk about what encryption is. It's basically kind of the same thing as cryptography. It's basically the process of protecting information by converting said information and scrambling it so that it can't be scrambled or figured out, except for by the authorized party. excuse me. They can be unscrambled by the authorized party, like I just said. And to unscramble any encrypted information, you would need a key to access it, just like cryptography. And there's basically two different types of encryption as well. There's symmetric encryption, which uses one key, which is used to encrypt and decrypt, and a asymmetric encryption, which uses two different keys that allows it to encrypt and decrypt data as well. Now that sounds familiar. There's basically the same thing with the cryptography, the symmetric key and the asymmetric key. Both are, like I said before, basically the same exact thing, but they both have like their little differences here and there where it's not like too much of a difference. But they still can be classified as being different from one another. So, I mean, take that as you will. To me, I feel like they're just the same. You know, it's like you can't really, like I just said, there's like the different types of encryption, and there's like the two other different types. Well, there's three. I guess like cryptography would have more types of encryption, or cryptography, I mean, I guess. But in my eyes, they're both basically the same. Both do the same thing. They both protect, they use keys, stuff like that. Now I'm going to be talking about a real life example of cryptography. This example takes place during World War II. And if you know about this at all already, well, probably not, but it's basically about the Navajo Code Talkers. What the Navajo Code Talkers were. They were this group of Native Americans, the Navajo what's the word? Region? No, tribe. The Navajo tribe were basically recruited by the U.S. military. What they wanted them to do was take their language, which was a complex code language. It was never written down at all, like on paper, books, whatever. It was only spoken. So what the military wanted to do was take that language and kind of encrypt, use that language so that if they were captured or for whatever reasons, they wouldn't get any of the information that the US had. So you had this language that was only spoken, never written down, by a small tribe of Navajos. You take all that and going to get a language that is hard to decode. Some were enlisted into the war, but others were drafted to help the US win the war, stuff like that. And these people had thousands of messages that the code talkers were sent during the war. Yeah, all and like all the codes that they had, and they're captured by like the Japanese or the Germans. Still to this day, actually, they still couldn't get the codes decrypted at all, which is really fascinating. Because basically, like, the Navajo are like, I don't know if we want to say like the keys. No. The Navajo would be like just regular people, whatever. But then, like, the language would be like the keys to access the information. But since nobody knew what the information was, or like the keys, technically the language, whatever, it was very hard to decrypt what the Navajo actually like wrote down, well, not wrote down, but like what they wanted and stuff like that, basically. Yeah, so that was just like a, I guess like a real world, not like computer-based example, which I really, really unique because there's not a lot of stuff like that. And that's just like an example of like what encryption is. I think I said before about the, I'll say it again, about like the makeup languages that like kids use, you know, like from like their parents or teachers, siblings, whatever. Like just that makeup language that like the kids have. It's basically like the situation that the Navajo code talkers actually have, but this is real life, of course. This is a real situation, which was really, like I said, cool. Next I want to talk about end-to-end encryption. Kind of talked about this before, but didn't go into a whole lot of detail. Basically what it is, it's just a, it's another security measure that keeps all of your like texts and other communications secure from other like third parties, from accessing your data and all that. Basically, like think of like iMessage or something that's on iPhones. iMessage is a end-to-end encrypted, what's the word I'm looking for? Like an app, I guess. It's like a, there's like different apps. They have like different, you know. But like all texts on there are end-to-end encrypted. There's other ones too. There's WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, Instagram, direct messages. I think, yeah, with Instagram direct messages, you need to turn them on. They're not on by default, which is weird. I think that only works for just like two-way conversations. Yeah. So it doesn't work with like group chats or anything, but for like one-on-one conversations, you need to turn it on. Basically, how you turn it on is if excuse me, now to turn it on, you just have to go to like the chat that you're in, and at the top you hit like the person's name you're contacting or texting, whatever. And then you have to hit use end-to-end encryption. Let me see if this will work. If I... Some people can't use end-to-end encryption yet. Okay, well, that's an account that I can't. Let's see if I'm gonna try my other, my buddy's account. Use end-to-end encryption. So if you hit and use end-to-end encryption on Instagram Messenger or Messenger, Facebook Messenger, Instagram direct message. I don't know if there's a difference. I know both on my Meta, but whatever. If you use it on Instagram, it'll pop up like a new direct message window. So then there you can just like text and do whatever. And it's on Google Messages too. I'm not too sure if you have to turn it on. I don't have a Google Pixel or whatever, so not sure. I'm pretty sure it's most like apps that are like iMessage or Google Messages. They're on by default. But for iPhones and Macs, whatever, there's a advanced advanced end-to-end encryption that protects everything from like notes, reminders, stuff like that. How to turn it on if you want to know. I personally recommend having it on because it saved me one time. I'm really glad I had it on. It could probably save you too. So if you want to turn it on, just go to settings. You want to go to your name at the top. Go down to iCloud and scroll down to advanced data protection. And what this basically is, it says that iCloud encrypts your data to keep it more secure. Advanced data protection uses end-to-end encryption to ensure that the iCloud data types listed here and is chosen below can only be decrypted on your trusted devices, protecting your information even in the case of a data breach in the cloud. In the list of apps it shows, there's device backups, message backups, iCloud Drive, notes, photos, reminders, Safari, Siri shortcuts, voice memos, and wallet. So all of that, if you have that on, you have to turn that on. I don't want to turn it off to go through the whole process, but it guides you in like how to turn it on. with all that. So what this basically is like, if something were to happen to your account, it would go into like, I don't know if it's like a lockdown type of mode, but it would prompt you that like something's wrong. But like once you set it up, it will give you like a key. It's like a long, I think it's like a 25 character type of key. So like if you want to like write it down or put like in your notes app, whatever you have, whatever. But like you take that, and if something were to happen to like one of your devices, it would make you put in that key to make sure that like you can like reset your password or do whatever. And if you don't have that key, well then you're screwed. So it's important to like write it down, like I said. But I'm not sure if I'm sure there's probably something different on like other devices. I'm not too sure, but I know with like Apple products like iPhones, iPads, Macs, whatever. I'm not sure if you can, I'm sure you can do it on Macs. It's like in the system settings, like for your iCloud account, like or Apple account, I should say, but still, you probably still do it on there if you really wanted to. I highly recommend that you do it. But those are just some apps or some other ways to protect yourself, not just like Apple specifically, is to set up two-factor authentication. I believe, yeah, like a lot of websites do this. It's basically like if you like sign in with like your password or whatever, it'll send you like a text message or like an email, basically to enter it give you like a code, and it'll ask you like what that code is, make sure that like it's you logging in, not somebody else, stuff like that. Next thing to protect yourself is to keep your devices updated and your apps too as well. This is important because like when stuff gets updated, more security stuff gets updated, and it gets harder for like people to hack in, basically stuff like that. Let's see. Use end-to-end messaging apps, like I said before. There's iMessage, WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, Instagram DMs, and Google Messages. Any app that has a end-to-end encryption data type is the app that you want to use, because that way nobody is spying in on your messages, nobody's stealing information, like if you were to type a password or something, maybe you gave it to a friend, whatever. I don't know why you want to give a password to a friend, but it's just an example. Use strong passwords. This one's a no-brainer. If you use like the same password for every website, it's not good. You want to make sure that it's a long, not like a long, but like just something random. Well, not random even, something just different for each different website that you use. So if you have like a Facebook, Twitter, just trying to think, like it's just any website. Want to use a different password for different websites, basically, what I'm trying to say. A VPN. But a VPN stands for Virtual Private Network. And what they use industry-grade encryption protocols and provide end-to-end encryption as well. If someone were to try to hack into your device that was using a VPN, they won't be able to like decipher your data and steal it at all. Which is really good for like companies, but more specifically like just regular people. 'Cause like if you were to connect to like, oh, let's say like your travel or something, and you're connected to a like a hotel Wi-Fi, anyone, if that, well, I wouldn't trust hotel Wi-Fi, so I wouldn't connect to it unless you have like a VPN. But like Wi-Fis like that aren't very secure. Anyone would be able to hack into them, steal like any type of information that's on your device. So if you were have to like just connect to a random Wi-Fi, not like a random, but just like a public Wi-Fi, I mean, highly recommend using a VPN. That just protects a lot from like hackers or anything. So, and speaking of like Wi-Fi, like public things, don't use public charging stations as well. Anyone could hack those too, since like it's connected like with the wire, they can just steal that information as well, so never use those. So if you have to get like a power bank, bring it with you. best case scenarios. So, yeah, I think that's about. Let me see where I am with time. That's about it. So thank you for listening. See you next week for a different IT related topic, and have a good day.